The Propaganda That Is Selective Science. By Lori Wines at brownstone.org. I am calling for a halt of the use of mRNA, COVID-19 vaccines. Dr. Joseph LaDapa, Florida, Surgeon General, January 3, 2024. It is hard to believe Dr. LaDapa actually issued that statement. Dr. Paul Offit, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, January 5, 2024. For those who are not doctors, which happens to be most of us, we depend on those few who have dedicated years of their lives to the scientific and medical fields to help inform us so we can make good decisions about our own health. Heading into the pandemic, a public largely jaded toward media and the government still placed high trust in their doctors. That trust has largely been betrayed during the COVID-19 pandemic years. CDC and FDA consultant Dr. Paul Offit's response to concerns that the mRNA COVID shots may not be safe is an example of that betrayal. In this specific case, the Florida Surgeon General, Dr. Joseph LaDapa, called for an end to the use of Pfizer and Moderna mRNA COVID-19 shots due to the discovery of DNA fragments in the vaccines, including the SV40 promoter, which is associated with cancer. The concern is integration, which is when foreign DNA becomes incorporated into chromosomal DNA, becoming part of the human genome. Dr. LaDapa wrote to the FDA on December 6, 2023, asking if the proper assessments have been conducted on the mRNA shots to address the following risks, identified by the FDA in a 2007 publication about plasmid DNA vaccines. DNA integration could theoretically impact a human's oncogenes, the genes which can transform a healthy cell into a cancerous cell. DNA integration may result in chromosomal instability. The guidance for industry discusses biodistribution of DNA vaccines and how such integration could affect unintended parts of the body, including blood, heart, brain, liver, kidney, bone marrow, ovaries/testes, lung, draining lymph nodes, spleen, the site of administration, and subcutis at injection site. The FDA's December 14, 2023 response was basically this: that 2007 document you cite is irrelevant because mRNA vaccines aren't DNA vaccines. Besides, it is quite implausible that the residual small DNA fragments could find their way into the nucleus and then be incorporated into chromosomal DNA. The FDA claims to have made a thorough assessment of the entire manufacturing process and is confident in the quality, safety, and effectiveness of the COVID-19 vaccines. The FDA sounds like a parent telling a child, "Don't worry. Everything will be all right." But we are not children, and the concerns the FDA so arrogantly dismisses are valid. For example, a 2023 study of people suffering from long COVID analyzed their cellular DNA and unexpectedly found genes uniquely specific to the Pfizer COVID vaccine in their blood cells. In other words, mRNA COVID vaccines permanently integrate into the DNA of some COVID-vaccinated people. Yet the FDA claims to have global surveillance data on over 1 billion doses of the mRNA vaccines that have been given, and there is nothing to indicate harm to the genome, such as increased rates of cancers. When an ostrich buries its head in the sand, the danger isn't gone. The FDA completely ignores the millions of COVID vaccine injuries and deaths that continue to be reported around the world, and instead claims that the real danger is the ongoing proliferation of misinformation and disinformation about these vaccines, which results in vaccine hesitancy that lowers vaccine uptake. Dr. LaDapa notes the FDA's failure to provide data or evidence to support its claims, and correctly states, if the risks of DNA integration have not been assessed for mRNA COVID-19 vaccines, these vaccines are not appropriate for use in human beings. But Dr. Paul Offit, advisor to the FDA during the COVID-19 vaccines approval process, says Dr. LaDapa is wrong. In a January 5 rebuttal to LaDapa's call for a halt to mRNA vaccination, Offit provides a stark example of propaganda, long on claims and short on facts. Offit either ignores or denies the shocking rise in myocarditis, pericarditis, strokes, neurological injuries, rapidly progressing and or returning cancers, and lowered birth rates worldwide since the rollout of the vaccines. Offit continues to call the vaccines safe and effective and claims that the benefits of COVID vaccination outweigh the risks. So there. That's all you need to know, as far as Dr. Offit is concerned. He sounds much like then Prime Minister of New Zealand Jacinda Ardern, who said during the pandemic, as she enforced unprecedented and unscientific brutal COVID policies on her citizens, that they should consider the government and its mouthpieces their single source of truth, and should dismiss everything else. But the FDA, Dr. Paul Offit, and the others whose reputations and financial benefits are entwined in the official COVID narrative, practice selective science. That is, they tell us only what they want us to hear, and they present only the data that supports their narrative, which is, in a word, propaganda. Physician and biochemist Dr. Robert Malone, a pioneer in mRNA technology in the 1980s, has been an outspoken critic of the failed COVID-19 vaccines, which do not prevent infection or transmission of disease. Malone notes that Offit apparently has no detailed training in molecular virology, gene therapy technology, or genetic vaccines. Malone finds Offit's supposed debunking of Dr. Ladapo's concerns both childish and absurd. It is hard to imagine that this person has been trusted to provide FDA or CDC advice on these mod mRNA products. Dr. Malone points out that the lipid nanoparticle delivery system, new to the mRNA shots, does indeed carry the DNA fragments into the human cells. Retired professor of microbiology in the UK, Dr. David Livermore, notes that most DNA fragments that reach the cytoplasm are likely degraded. However, if some of the nanoparticles remain intact within the cytoplasm, transfection could occur. Dr. Malone states, the issue is whether there is a safe threshold for DNA fragment contamination when co-delivered via self-assembling cationic lipid nanoplexes together with modified mRNA. If so, show us the data which proves that this is a safe level of adulteration. Dr. Ladapo asked the FDA to show those data, and FDA's director of CBER, Center for Biologics Evaluation and Research, Peter Marks, responded with lies, falsehoods, gaslighting, and a complete failure to disclose such data, which apparently do not exist. Much like the approach used here by Offit. Dr. Offit seeks to put DNA fragments into perspective as harmless, by pointing out that the trillions of bacteria living on your body are also foreign DNA. Assuming you live on this planet and you eat animals or plants on this planet, says Offit, you are ingesting foreign DNA. Offit also states that all vaccines are made in cells, and any viral vaccine that's made in cells will have residual quantities of DNA. There is no avoiding that. Dr. Livermore counters that Dr. Offit is essentially comparing apples to oranges. Naturally occurring DNA is not the same thing as the fragments found in the COVID shots. Livermore states, Dr. Offit omits the point that the mRNA and any contaminating DNA from the COVID mRNA shots is contained inside lipid nanoparticles designed to cross biological membranes. These deliver their payload into cells. Ergo, any contaminating DNA reaches the cytoplasms. Transfection is not only possible, it is a reality. See here and here. However, Dr. Livermore believes that the COVID shots are of concern for greater and more common reasons than transfection. He simpler good reasons to avoid these vaccines and to stop their use in the vast majority of people are that, I, they simply don't provide any lasting protection, 2, repeated boosters may distort innate immunity so as to increase vulnerability and, 3, most of us have achieved, through infection, the same sort of immune equilibrium we enjoy with other respiratory coronaviruses. Why take anything with some potential hazard and no lasting benefit? Gastroenterologist Dr. Lisbeth Selby states, the most fundamental reason to dispute the way the COVID vaccines were used is that the studies were not conducted to assess even medium-term safety signals since the placebo groups were basically dissolved way before the proposed end dates for the studies. If the pharmaceutical companies cannot be trusted to follow the plans they laid out for initial study, why would they feel compelled to follow good manufacturing practices? See here and here. The continuing controversy of the COVID mRNA shots centers on multiple regulatory agency failures to comply with long-established protections for the public. From the truncated clinical trials and the suppression of serious adverse reactions that occurred in 1 out of every 800 shots given, to the concerted effort to ignore abundant proofs of massive vaccine harms, to the dogged and incorrect claim that COVID vaccines have saved millions of lives, the public has been denied accurate information regarding the COVID-19 shots. Retired physician Stephen Kritz notes that there are valid reasons why full vaccine evaluation, prior to release for general use, usually takes 5 to 10 years. Operation Warp Speed was not a miracle of modern medicine. It was a rush job to release a product that still needed years of work before being proven safe for mass administration to the population. Dr. Kritz states, to recommend/mandate the jab for people at virtually zero risk from the virus, and it was known early on who was at greatest risk and who was at almost zero risk, amounts to assault and battery. Internal medicine physician Clayton J. Baker says the matter of whether or not the COVID shots should continue to be administered is a simple no, for two main reasons. 1. The jabs are adulterated with the DNA that isn't supposed to be in there. Adulterated medical products, by law and by any ethical standard, should be pulled from the market. 2. Nobody, not Paul Offit or anyone else, really knows the dangers of this DNA contamination. Anyone can say they do, or can say injury is highly unlikely, or conjure up odds of harm, but they don't know. The burden of safety is on the manufacturer, not the consumer. Full stop. We are in a battle of information, and medicine is one of the battlegrounds. It might be easy to dismiss Dr. Offit as simply an incompetent government official, and move forward. However, Offit is part of something very ugly that seeks to control the population of the world through top-down emergency mandates declared due to a virus, or climate change, or civil unrest, or international conflicts. Any emergency will do. Evolutionary biologist Brett Weinstein points out in a January 5, 2024 interview that the mistake the elites made during COVID is that they took all of the competent people, all of the courageous people, and shut them out of the institutions where they were hanging on. They created, in so doing, the dream team, every player you could possibly want on your team to fight some historic battle against a terrible evil. The small group of dissidents upended their narrative. Uptake rates on the new boosters are in the low single digits. Now I'm troubled by the fact that at the same time, we don't see a massive majority acknowledging the vaccination campaign was a mistake in the first place. It's important to stand up and say I was had. And I think all of us were. Brett Weinstein, PhD evolutionary biologist. The deciding factor is distilled down to this: do you want your future ability to participate in the public square to be based on which medicines and injections you take? If that sounds like a preposterous question to you, you have forgotten that during the COVID-19 pandemic, the ability to work, to travel, and to participate in society was largely based on two medical interventions: wearing a face mask and showing proof of COVID vaccination. Many complied so as to not make waves, or in the hopes that if they conformed, they would get their lives back. But unfortunately, a pattern was set by those who will try it again. The World Health Organization is attempting to revise the International Health Regulations Treaty in a manner that dissidents will be silenced the next time there is a pandemic, see here and here. Weinstein explains that the WHO's pandemic plan is designed to be confusing and hard to understand, making the changes sound minor and procedural, but they're not minor. Weinstein states, I think it is fair to say that we are in the middle of a coup. We are actually facing the elimination of our national and our personal sovereignty. That is the purpose of what is being constructed. Come May of this year, your nation is almost certain to sign on to a WHO agreement, in which a public health emergency, which the Director General of the World Health Organization has total liberty to define in any way he sees fit. In other words, nothing prevents climate change from being declared a public health emergency that would trigger the provisions of these modifications. The provisions that would kick in are beyond jaw-dropping. Weinstein says what has been proposed are a number of measures that would be imposed by the WHO in the event of an arbitrarily declared public health emergency, including mandated gene therapy injections, vaccines, no travel without a vaccine passport, and forbidding the use of medications other than those authorized by the WHO. Central to the plans under discussion is the control of misinformation, which, of course, is anything that goes against the official narrative. People like Dr. Paul Offit are squarely in the camp of silencing dissent and mandating medical interventions as soon as they can drum up the next emergency. However, there are more people who do not want the life that the technocrats, corrupt government officials, and globalists are planning for us than those who do. As tired as we are of thinking about the pandemic, We have a moral responsibility to push back and preserve our freedoms and way of life for ourselves, and especially for future generations.